quietly, this gives you another year to recruit him to stay. He spends a year rehabbing under the impression that, hey, when this year's over, you guys are going to work with me to trade me. That's what you said. Absolutely. And they will do that. I fully believe that if that's what Durant wants, they'll do it because it means they get something in return. But quietly, they can spend the year wooing him, doing nice things, putting him in a nice situation, trying to entice him to stay in the Bay Area. And then maybe the year ends and he goes, you know what? I don't really like what the Knicks are up to. I'm not really sure I want to come off this Achilles at this age and, you know, start over somewhere. I kind of like the way things have been going here. Klay's coming back healthy. You're going to figure out whatever you're going to do with Draymond at some point. Steph's still doing Steph things. Chase Center's open. Maybe you have a year to convince him to end up staying. And if that doesn't work out, you left literally every option on the table. You did everything you could to keep this guy in the fold. He says no. You trade him. He's now healthy. You get some assets in return. You move to the future. This really is a great scenario all the way around. The downside is, of course, the idea that he doesn't come off the injury well and no one's able to show enough interest in trading for him that you get stuck with an injured player who may be past his prime at a very high price tag. But you know what? I think the gamble in this situation, the risk, is not going to outweigh the reward. I think the reward outweighs the risk. And from there, you can sit back and say this is a pretty good deal. You could use the word beautiful.
Definitely beautiful. Definitely beautiful. And I think the organization.
Hold on. Anna's very excited. She's over there. She's
got a Woj
gyrating. She's shaking. She's moving.
Now,
hold on.
We got a little
Have you
Woj.
Verified with
you
the
verified.
Blue check mark?
We it will is not a blue be, check mark.
We will not be sports talk buried on this program.
This is going to be, this is some draft news.
Well, hold on. This is verified.
Yes, this is all verified. Right.
The floor is yours. How about a drum roll here? Let's really build this up so if it doesn't deliver.
It's worthy.
From Woj, ESPN sources, Golden State has acquired Atlanta's number 41 pick tonight in tonight's NBA draft. The cost $1.3 million and a 2024 second-round pick. Atlanta moved to number 44 to Miami yesterday. Hawks now, and then continue on with the Hawks picks later.
I mean, first of all, you can't just bail on the report like that at the end. You got to complete
all right.
The task,
fine,
right?
Fine.
That felt a little anticlimactic. Yeah, you got to. What happened there? You got to finish the report.
All right. Hawks now have the numbers 8, 10, 17, and 35 for tonight, but Golden State has 28, 41, and 58.
So the Warriors. Okay, so the Hawks got rid of 44 yesterday. They traded it to Miami in exchange for a second next year because they actually entered the draft. They had 8, 10, 17, 35, 41, and 44. So what they did was they moved 44 to Miami for a second next year, and they just sold 41 to the Warriors, is what you're saying?
They traded it for a second-round pick in 2024 and cash, $1.3 million. So the Warriors...
2024?
Correct, Coach. So five drafts from now. You've seen a lot of 2024 picks being swapped around. I believe New Orleans gave up a pick in that same draft with the Anthony Davis trade. So the Warriors now with... three picks tonight, 28, 41, and 58. And I wouldn't be surprised if they found a way to turn one of those picks into two picks, thereby having four choices tonight because you need bodies if you're Golden State.
How much was the financial particulars? They gave up a second-round pick in 2024, and how much cash?
So $1.3
million. 1.3. So not exactly the Jordan Bell deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan was a little bit more expensive.
That it was. Daniel, can you see this team putting two of those picks together to try to get even higher in the draft to get another more of a player that can score and do some things to help Klay?
No, I think they're more likely to go backward. And I don't think they're going to move off of 28, and we'll get into this more as the show goes on. But there's a lot of pretty good ready-made NBA potential guys at 28, and I think you're desperate for somebody who can come in and actually contribute to play minutes because Jacob Evans didn't play a lot of minutes.
No.
Kevon Looney is a rookie, didn't play a lot of minutes. Damian Jones didn't play a lot. Jordan Bell played some in the playoffs, but he didn't give you a lot of minutes. So this year, more than ever, you need at least one of these guys to step in and probably take the place of Sean Livingston or Klay, get some minutes.
And with that being said, that's what I'm saying. With 28, let's say you said 28 and 44, that's correct?
They have 28 and 58. They just acquired 41 from Atlanta. So they now have 28, which is the first, 41 and 58 are second rounders.
Right. So with 28 and 41, what would that get you? Can that get you the fifth? Can that get you to 17? Can that, where
how about that? This? 28, 41, and 58 to New Orleans for one. You draft Zion, who says no.
I think the Pelicans say no.
All right, just had to throw it out there. Now that we've eliminated that option, we can move forward and find the most reasonable option.
Right.
And we will leave no stone unturned on this program.
I like that.
Absolutely. And you look at Atlanta's situation, and you mentioned they had six picks coming in, I believe, to yesterday. Now they're down to four. When you're Atlanta and you look at your roster, you got a lot of young guys you still want to believe in, so you don't have the roster space to draft six players. If you're the Warriors and you've got, six guys signed, maybe seven, you're a team that needs more picks. Yeah, you need to have as good a player as you can get, but you need bodies in Golden State.
Atlanta, I'm going to tell you what, they're getting real spicy down there. Real spicy. I like what Travis Schlenk is doing. I really like it. They got a nice little team right now. They're still sitting on four picks after that move, and the word on the street between 8, 10, and 17 is that they're putting a package together. They want to get up in the top four. They want to get up to four. They possibly want to get up to two. They're being linked to everyone. Schlenk's working the phones.
Yeah.
How do you think this went down with Bob Myers, old friend? Bob calls up, hey, Travis, how you doing? Bob, what can I do you for?
Yeah.
I knew this call would be coming.
Of course.
Which of our twos do you want?
Right.
Bob, do me a solid and just throw me $1.3 million in unmarked non-sequential bills in a duffel bag. I'll be over in the morning.
But you're talking about bodies, Daniel. You're saying bodies. They need bodies. I get that, but you have a lot of these guys still going to be under salary, and a lot of these guys are still going to be teams. So that's what I'm saying. So are you going to just buy these guys out and try to bring in more guys because you could only have a certain amount of guys? That's why I'm saying, do you make that trade and only know that you're going to have one body, but one good body?
So you're suggesting packaging stuff together, moving up and getting a player that has perhaps a brighter future and taking a lot of guys that may have less upside.
Right, and you don't have a lot of – how many bodies can you bring in? Bell's still under contract. Some of these guys.
Not necessarily. He's a restricted free agent, so you don't know if he's going to be back.
10 days they have to make that offer to put the offer sheet out there.
So there's guys still.
Think about all the guys in your 15, though, that are gone. Jerebko's going to be gone. Bogut, gone. DeMarcus Cousins is gone.
Gone.
KD and Clay are both gone. That's five right there.
If you're going to use the word, you got
to. Well, I'm just trying to move through it because we're doing hardcore sports talk.
No, you can settle on it a little bit. I like the impersonations.
Gone.
There we go.
It's my Dwayne Kuipers. That's five right off the clip that we know are. High jive. Gone. So that's five right there. Let alone we don't know about Kevon Looney. We've talked about that. Damian Jones is going to be back, but Quinn Cook is a question mark.
Right.
Alphonso McKinney is a question mark. His contract's not guaranteed. All of a sudden, now that's eight roster spots. So you need bodies.
Well, wait. So it's seven players under contract for next year. But, and Slater was writing about this, there's a good chance McKinney and Livingston are both gone, that they could be cut by the deadline. So that gives you five, and then you end up doing the deal with Durant that we've been talking about, as well as Klay Thompson. So that gives you seven, but those two don't do anything for you. So you've got five. You still have five, and then from there you're working up. Yeah, this is about bodies. This is about let's fire three bullets and let's just try to hit on something.
Right.
That's the thing. And as many poker chips as we can throw into the pot gives us a better chance of lasting longer into the tournament,
Does it? Or do you say, okay, am I going to get one guy that I know that's going to last me in the poker chip and then go get other veterans?
They don't have a lot of money to spend. That's the problem.
But
this is their only option.
Do you do that with Steph? So you're going to put three rookies on the court, two or three with him on the court?
Okay, so listen to Bob. So Bob Myers met with the media yesterday. Needing guys to play big minutes. That's the audio I want. You guys got that one ready? All right, take a listen. This is Bob Myers with the media yesterday.
Everything, you factor all that stuff in, right? I mean, who's going to be available, potentially available next year to play? Who that person is? Is that a veteran? Is that a rookie? Is that a previous young player? Is that a new young player? Yes. I mean, we're going to need, I think, even the guys that are healthy have played a lot of basketball. We're talking about, you know, Steph, Draymond, Andre, those type of guys that played a lot of basketball. So, you know, we're going to need guys that can play big minutes and hopefully contribute and just eat up minutes as much as they can. So it does factor into whether it's the draft decision or decisions in July that you have to utilize that and react to it and respond to it in the best way you can.
Tibbs, what part of that jumps out at you?
The part where he says we need guys to come in and eat minutes, because that to me sounds eat minutes sounds like eat innings, which sounds like Jeff Samardzija. And to go from where the Warriors have been down to, and this is not to disrespect Jeff Samardzija, who's having a decent year.
No, he's not. He is not at stop.
You know what he's doing? He's eating innings, coach.
They said that the other day. Man, Samardzija did what he needed to do. 112 pitches. He ate up five innings. He gave up four runs. They didn't have a chance to win that game. So I can do that. Everyone in this room can go out there and get through five innings and give up a ton of runs. I can eat five innings. I give up 100 runs.
But you can go ahead and slot in the bottom half of this roster as the Jeff Samardzija team. Instead of the Hamptons five, you'll have the Samardzija five because Bob Meyer said...
No, stop saying that. I don't want the two associated with one another. You're going to have to stop that.
But the Shark five? Is that better for you?
Don't associate the one with the other. They're two separate entities.
Bob
Meyer's
made it so they have to be bled together because he's talking about eating minutes and... You look at a basketball game, you need five guys times 48 minutes, 240 minutes times 82 games. Those minutes have got to be played by somebody, and you're looking at just bodies in there. It's a lot of minutes, coach.
God.
That's brutal.
God.
Thank you. A lot of innings they need to eat.
He also said that it's going to be a mixture. He said it's going to be rookies, it's going to be young guys, it's going to be veterans as well. I can't see Bob Myers doing that to his superstar. I cannot see this guy going.
What, asking him to play basketball?
Dibs, with all due respect, I think you got to use your head besides a hat rack. You know I wasn't saying play basketball. I was saying he's going to get him some veteran players, Daniel, that he's got for Stephen Curry. He's going to get a good nucleus. He's going to have a mix of young players through the draft, and he's going to sign some guys that are out there that are better than some of the guys that they have on the current roster.
But the thing with that is it's so challenging. They don't have a lot of money to spend. The CBA has them so hamstrung. They got this, what, the veteran, the mid-level exception?
The mid-levels for them, as a tax violator, a repeat tax offender, they don't even get the real mid-level, which is $9 million. They get $5.6 million as the mid-level exception. So that's one guy. You're talking about a veteran who's going to come in and play for $5.5 million, probably not Jamal Crawford or a real impact guy off the bench. You're looking at an older player who's probably not that great. If DeMarcus Cousins decides to stay, they can pay him six and change. He'll probably get more elsewhere, but let's just say that he decides to stay. That would be great. You could pay Kevon Looney whatever you want because he has the bird rights, but you're going to have to pay an inordinate amount of tax for that as well. So even if you bring back DeMarcus and Kevon and the other five guys under contract, that's only seven guys. You still need another three to five or seven players to come in.
Boy, we got problems. Wow.
Problems.
Problems.
So you look at it. Welcome to the world.
Man, welcome
back.
Great
to have you.
Yeah.
Let me bring you up to speed on things. The Warriors got problems. The environment's collapsing around us.
Man.
And politically in this country, we're a little unstable at the moment. Great to have you, though.
Yeah, Rocky.
Help yourself. Take your shoes off.
Iraq shot down one of our drones. It's a jungle out there.
Man, look at you. Look at you crossing over to the political spectrum. It's crazy. I didn't know you had it in you.
Also, the text line is convinced I can't eat up five innings. I absolutely could eat up five innings. Does anyone here believe I can't eat up five innings?
It'd take you a while.
Give up at least 20 runs.
Sure. It doesn't matter if Samardzija gives up 20 runs or not. He goes out there, he eats up innings, he gives up four runs, they don't win the game, and everyone moves on. I can eat up five innings. There's no clock on it. I'll eventually throw enough pitches that a couple guys, they'll get tired, or they'll just miss swing, they'll pop it up. I can get 15 outs. I'm not saying I'm going to throw a no-hitter.
Right.
I'm not going to do what Max Scherzer did yesterday.
Right.
But I will eat up five innings, and I'll do it for a hell of a lot less than $19 million a year.
The outfield, they'll be tired, but they'll have to make some
You know what? They're getting paid, too. This ain't goodwill.
I said that!
Don't make a play.
Why are you going there? I agreed with you.
Man, a lot of home runs given up. All of a sudden, they'd have to move
No, not at that park.
They'd have to move the fences back at Oracle with Joey on the bump.
I'll eat up five, and I'll do it for a hell of a lot less money. I'll learn how to throw. You know what I'll do?
What?
If you give me enough time, I'll learn how to throw a knuckleball. I could probably do that. I'm not going to blow anyone away with speed, so let's rule the fastball out. If you gave me a year to learn how to throw a knuckleball, well, a year's probably too much. But give me a reasonable amount of time to learn how to throw a knuckleball. Charlie Huff was pitching for the Marlins when he was like in his 50s. Tim Wakefield would either get shelled and pulled after the first inning, or he'd have a no-hitter into the sixth. There was no in-between for Tim Wakefield. And he was
boy,
in his mid-40s. I'm 38. I'm in my prime for being a knuckleballer.
Is Fat Boy still pitching, the big man?
Bartolo Colon?
Yeah, that joker.
Yeah, I think he is, actually.
Yeah, but he actually has an arsenal. He actually throws fastballs and curveballs.
Would you brush someone off a couple times?
Not with a knuckleball. No one's going to get brushed back by it. It takes an hour and a half for the knuckleball to get to the plate. The question is whether or not there's enough movement. Plus, let's be honest. If I need to eat up five innings, I'm going to go out there with sandpaper or some sort of foreign substance all over my body. I'm going to be like the old guy Harris in Major League. And at some point, the umps are just going to want this thing to end. So they're not really going to be looking to throw me out of the game. Although, if they could move the things along by throwing me out, that actually could backfire, so I probably have to avoid that. So I got to keep that in mind. But I could absolutely eat up five innings. If you gave me 1 year, I'll learn how to throw a knuckleball. I could go out there, eat up five innings, and I could do it for less than 90 minutes.
Which is more unlikely? And I'll ask the group this. Joe lasting five innings.
I'm going to answer it.
Or, yeah, it's for the group. You're a part of the group.
Yeah.
Begrudgingly. What's more likely, or what's less likely, Joe lasting five innings or Guru scoring on Jordan Bell in a game of one-on-one?
You guys see what's less likely?
Yes. Which is less likely? Joe
lasting five innings. Me lasting five innings.
Guru's more likely to throw one in the ocean against Jordan Bell.
Guru, if he just, is that Guru thing, sure. Is it make it, take it?
Yeah, absolutely make it, take it.
Then me lasting five innings. Because Bell's not going to let him get the ball. Like, that's Bell. I'll definitely last five innings. I'll definitely have a better chance of lasting five. If I have 1 year to learn how to throw a knuckleball, I'll definitely have a better chance of lasting five innings than Guru making a shot against Jordan Bell. Because if Jordan Bell gets the ball first or gets one stop, Guru's not getting that ball back. Guru's not going to be able to defend Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell's going to cross him over, take him to the rack, and it's just going to be layup and dunk after layup and dunk. It's no disrespect to Guru, but I'm going five innings for the Giants with a knuckleball a hell of a lot faster than he's knocking down a shot against Jordan in a make-it-take-it. Now, if it's not make-it-take-it, if Bell knocks one
down. Loses outs.
Yeah, and Guru keeps getting the ball. Guru probably has, what, five or six possessions where he can just, as soon as he gets it, chuck it up. Maybe he hits a prayer. And in that scenario, I would take him.
That's a great breakdown.
That's what I do.
Strong analysis.
That's what I do. I'm just waiting for Zaidi to give me a call. Zaidi, I'm here. One mil. I'll travel with the team. I won't rock the boat.
I'm not going to bring
a whole lot of ego. I'm a humble guy. We all know this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to show up. Team guy, team first. You know, I don't want to really meet with the media, but I'll handle my obligations.
Certainly not
going on this show. Stupid ass questions that are answered around here. Probably shouldn't have even said that. I apologize to everyone who heard that.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
The questions are stupid. It just didn't need the second part to it.
They did. Yeah. Did not.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Greg Pop at 8:30. Not sure how that's going to go today.
Come on, Lowe.
come on, Lowe.
Bob Myers. Let's go back to real world issues here. Bob Myers talking about the ability that and flexibility that Joe Lacob's giving him.
But I will say the decisions we've made, I think, don't trust my words, trust our payroll. I mean, just look at what it is. It's big. And so, like I said with Cousins last year, you want to be smart about it. I don't think you just spend it to spend it or spend money to buy a pick tomorrow. You want to do it to win. But fortunately, we have somebody that is willing to engage in all that dialogue. And usually, if it's a consensus, yeah, do it.
Two criteria for owners. Joe Lacob checks both boxes. Two criteria. One, don't be cheap. Two, don't be incompetent. That's it for ownership. That's it. You're obviously already wealthy, and somehow you've politically maneuvered yourself into a situation in which you get to own a professional sports team. Great famous line from the Showtime hit Billions, where Bobby Axelrod's trying to buy, I think, an NFL team, and the guy who phases him out, who hates him, tells him, this is how we knight people in this country. We give you the ability to buy a pro sports team. That's how we knight people in America. I think it's a beautiful line. So you've got to have some political savvy or, you know, you inherit whatever, and you've got to be rich in order to be an owner. Now, at that point, there are only two things you need to do as an owner. One, don't be cheap. Two, don't be incompetent. Work your way around all the teams in professional sports. You find me incompetent, I'll find you a loser. You find me cheap, I'll find you a loser. You find me competent and the willingness to spend, I'm going to find you a contender more years than not. Think about it, because we're going to be back. We got to preview more on the draft. We've got to talk about what's going to happen at 28. What exactly are the Warriors looking for? And the big news that's surfacing regarding Kevin Durant. All that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
It's draft day on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs talk to the Godfather, Greg Papa, at 8:30. Followed by our Warriors insider, Mark Spears, at 9. We're live from Warriors HQ starting at noon. 957. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our NBA draft-bound listening audience, because we love you and because we got news breaking all over the place. There is a lot to discuss. Here's how it's going to work down. The Warriors, their picks, the trades they've been making today, all that's coming up in just a second. We're going to follow that up with the bomb that was dropped on GetUp regarding the future of Kevin Durant. I want to start with the Bob Myers audio that we played from the last segment. Let's restart here. This is Bob Myers meeting with the media yesterday, talking about the relationship with Joe Lacob and the approach to the draft.
But I will say the decisions we've made, I think, don't trust my words, trust our payroll. I mean, just look at what it is. It's big. And so, like I said, with Cousins last year, you want to be smart about it. I don't think you just spend it to spend it or spend money to buy a pick tomorrow. You want to do it to win. But fortunately, we have somebody that is willing to engage in all that dialogue. And usually if it's a consensus, yeah, do it.
Ownership. This is the type of owner you want. Sure, at times, Lacob may be a little brash. I like it. It's his team. He's a winner. He can say what he wants. He owns the club. But with ownership, it comes down to two boxes you need to be able to check. One, don't be cheap. Two, don't be incompetent. Go through all professional sports. Find me incompetence. Find me cheap. I will find you a loser. The Redskins, incompetent. The Bengals, cheap. The Dolphins, incompetent. The Cardinals, cheap and incompetent. You see where I'm going? Let's look at the gold standard, New England. Very competent, willing to spend. Seattle, competent, willing to spend. You can work around all sports. Joe Lacob, not cheap, not incompetent, not a surprise that your team is well-run and having a lot of success. As you slice through what Myers is saying, this leads into the news that broke earlier today. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, a trade has been consummated between the Golden State Warriors and the Atlanta Hawks. Remember, Atlanta Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk used to work for the Golden State Warriors. The Hawks took pick number 41 in the second round, and they sent it to the Warriors in exchange for $1.3 million, is it? $1.3, I believe, as well as a second-round pick in the year 2024. So the Warriors took a second-round pick in 2024, $1.3 million in cash, and sent it to Atlanta in exchange for pick number 41. Atlanta's been quite active. They entered the draft with, I believe, six picks, 8, 10, 17, 35, 41, and 44. They traded 44 to Miami on Wednesday. They just traded 41 to the Golden State Warriors. More on that in a bit, but you hear this. What does it mean to you, Dibs? Because Golden State now has pick 28 in the first round, pick 41 in the second, pick 58 in the second.
It means this is going to be the biggest summer league for the Warriors in probably 8 to 10 years, because you've got spots that need to be filled, and it's going to be an open competition for roster spots 7 through 15. Right now you look at your needs and you need players. You need guys that you have who haven't played much to ascend, step up, and be rotation guys, and you need young players to be able to come in and be ready to roll. And it's funny because we played the Bob Myers sound, and he said, you don't necessarily go out there and buy a pick unless you need it. And then the next thing they do is they don't buy a pick. They traded for it, but they sent money along with it in order to get this pick. So it just shows you where you are as a Golden State Warriors organization. Everyone wants to say, oh, next year is a red shirt. We're just going to pause the dynasty. You still have to go out and play 82 games, and you need players to do that. And so I think this is a great trade for them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that it is a great trade, and I think that they'll go out and get some players. You need players to be able to slow down a game. You need players that are veteran guys too. Yes, you do need to get those bodies, and yes, you need to get some rookies, and yes, this summer league is going to be unbelievable for the Warriors, but you need to get those players that are past their prime, but yet and still they bring a quality and they bring a maturity and they bring a presence to the team. The guy, Lance Stephenson, for instance, still can play good defense at times. You go out and look at a Rondo. Guys are not going to cost you that big, huge money, but you got to do something to kind of slow it down. You know you're going to have a lot of young guys playing, but you're also going to have to find those you know, those older players and those players that are way past their prime because you can't afford the, you know, the elite guys.
What do these picks look like tonight? There are names out there, people who are far more trained to understand scouting on a basketball level than I am. I'll be the first to throw that out. So I'm not about to tell you who this team should draft because I didn't watch enough college hoops. I haven't studied enough to say, yeah, this is a guy that's going to fit. I've read plenty of names and I've looked at plenty of scouting reports. I've seen plenty of mock drafts, so I have an idea of what other people are thinking. But I haven't studied it enough. I haven't watched any tape on these guys, so I'm not going to pretend to project onto you what the Warriors should be doing. Picks 28, 41, and 58. What should the player look like, though? What are we looking for here? Because the first thing in my mind is, I just want someone who can get on the court and play. That was the biggest problem with Jacob Evans. That's been the biggest problem with a lot of these guys. Let's go back through the last how many drafts for the Golden State Warriors. 2018, one pick, Jacob Evans. All right, there's a lot of roadblocks to getting on the court with the guys that are playing in front of you. Didn't see a whole lot last year, and there were some opportunities. 2017, Jordan Bell. Looked good at first. Last year was a bit of a struggle. 2016, Damian Jones and Patrick McCall. McCall's not even here anymore. And Damian Jones, it's either injuries or, again, can't really get on the court and make an impact. 2015, Kevon Looney. We all like him. We hope he's back. He might not be. So over the last, what is this, four drafts, haven't really come away with a whole lot. That's okay. You're having a lot of success on the court with previous draft picks. But what are we looking for tonight?
I think you're looking for a guy that can create. People are going to say, I want a defensive stopper. You got that in Draymond. And, yeah, you need other guys that play both ends. I'd rather have someone that can create. You look at Steph, yes, he can create, but sometimes get banged around. You look at Draymond, you know he's going to be a guy who assists, but it is their true creator on that team. You look at KD and Steph. Those were the two guys that can really create. Cook, at times, yes, he's going to be on this team, but is he that guy that can really create? You have some guys that can set and shoot and, you know, knock down some shots, direct with those guys at times. But this team needs to be looking in the draft to find someone that's, you know, not a short guy in stature, but a long guy that can shoot and also create. You got to have somebody that can create opportunities and a guy that can take it to the rack. A
couple of guys in that realm, low from a lot of the mocks I've been looking at, and I actually was looking at a lot of tape yesterday, trying to put some video to the names that are being thrown out there.
Sure.
One guy is Dylan Windler.
Did you golfing yesterday?
Yes, I did golf yesterday. After the golf, came back and racked up some video. Didn't play well. Shout out Karika Park. The course is in amazing shape.
The beauty of not having young kids. The beauty of having grown kids who can take care of themselves.
Yes, and grown kids who would rather not have you around, quite frankly.
Yeah,
and,
no,
you know, the one kid's working full time, and the other kid is in the door closed mode of his bedroom right now. So you might as well live alone. But
you can watch tape.
Yeah, and I'm watching some Dylan Windler tape, and you look back at what he did against Maryland. He had 35. He's a 6'8" wing who can shoot the three off the dribble and also moving without the ball. He's an interesting piece.
Yeah.
The one I think that you would love the most, and I would love to see for this guy fall, Cameron Johnson out of North Carolina. He played 3 years in Pittsburgh. He got injured. Then he transferred to North Carolina. He's 23 years old. So I know a lot of these names are going to bog down the conversation, but to your answer, your question, the kind of player you're looking for, in my opinion, is somebody who's much more of a grown man, not a one-and-done type, a guy who's going to be a project, like Kevon Looney, who had limited time at UCLA, and Damian Jones had injury concerns. You need a guy who's shown that he's ready to go, and this guy Cameron Johnson, 23 years of age, 5 years of college, he's probably more seasoned than most other guys coming
basketball out. Basketball IQ. I don't think any of us are looking for a superstar, an all-star, a franchise player. I'd like for you to get on the court and not be a complete liability. You don't need to shoot 45% from deep.
No.
But I would like you to be able to knock down some threes. That's really what I'm looking for. Get on the court and don't be incompetent. Don't lose your defender on a regular basis. Don't get lost in the concept of ball movement and screens and constantly moving while on the court like Steph does. You don't need to play like Steph. I can tell you one name I don't want. Actually, two. Because I keep seeing him pop up on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Hard pass on Bol Bol, hard pass on Taco Fall. I don't want any of these 10-foot, easily breakable big men. Pass. Everyone loves Bol Bol, Manute Bol's son. Yeah, okay, he's really big, but he also fractured his foot last year. And then that happened in December, so they shut him down. So, you know, you always got to worry about injuries with these super tall guys. Yao Ming, another example. And then he shows up at the combine. He was 30 pounds lighter than they expected. Like, what's that about? How the heck did you lose 30 pounds? So, no, none of that.
He won't be there at 28, which is the good news, because they won't be tempted. And Taco Fall, I don't even know if he gets drafted, quite frankly. If it was 1986, he might be a lottery pick. He's the kid out of Central Florida who's 7'5". You remember he flummoxed Duke and Zion Williamson in that game.
Right.
The other name of guys who I like this kid, but I don't think he fits for the Warriors is Carson Edwards. You remember the Purdue kid who had that game against Virginia?
I do.
He hit one from 22, 26, 30, like, and then he hit like a 35-footer. He had 42 points. Remember that game last year in the tournament?
That you mentioned that. Yes. Like, yeah,
he's a
great
short
game.
Guy, really muscular, solid player, but on a team where you already have, you know, a diminutive style guard in Steph Curry, and if Quinn Cook's around, to me, he's not the fit for this team, but he's definitely one to watch tonight because he's a fun player.
And not just that, these are guys that are buttoned up. You look at the system that Purdue puts together, Joe, they have guys that are pro-ready.
Shout out Matt Painter.
Matt Painter does a phenomenal job to getting these guys ready. They're always in good shape. You're talking about basketball IQ. This guy, he does a great job doing that. So those kids are in Purdue. They're pretty buttoned up.
Hey, quick note. Speaking of Purdue, I've been knuckles deep in Phil Steele research. I'm getting ready for college football. Got to start doing my prep.
Yeah.
He has his positional breakdowns. Low appearing in the defensive tackle breakdown.
Yes!
Right there in the middle of the pack. He's got good, reasonable ranking on him.
Yeah.
Good, reasonable ranking. But it's cool to see his name in Phil Steele. He's one of the guys that's being discussed. He appears on multiple pages, like right here for Big Ten conversation, right here for D-tackle conversation, right here for Purdue conversation. It's good stuff. How's he doing? How's he coming back from the surgery?
Fat boy's coming back. I told him fat boys are back. I said, you got to keep going, buddy.
He going to show up 30 pounds light?
He's got to.
Like Bol Bol.
Bol Bol. Exactly.
Him and Bol Bol.
That might be a good. He needs to go ahead and give Bol Bol his weight, that 30
give
pounds.
Give him his 30.
Yeah, give him his 30. You know?
Man, if only it were that easy.
Right.
It's probably going to be at some point. You don't think we're going to be able to just transfer weight to one another?
Man, I could give my son Keon 40 right now, and we'd both be better off.
I'd line up to give him 10 of mine, too, 10 to 15.
Yeah. I mean, man, shout out.
Keon will be looking great.
Seriously. Be looking rock solid.
Like you can transfer to nice guy Steven. He's quite lean.
Yeah, he lost some weight, too, while he was gone.
Nice
Bonnaroo.
Guy. As you were getting your phone stolen at Bonnaroo, how much weight did you lose?
They got it?
Oh, yeah, they got me bad.
They got me bad. A solid 6 pounds.
6 pounds. That's like 10% of you.
No wonder I've been getting crazy calls. Come on, man. All my numbers. That's what
I'm doing. Guy goes through the phone. Whoa, is this Lo Neal?
Right, what the hell?
Is this Lo Neal, the D-tackle at Purdue?
Wow. Oh, nice, Joe. Nice. Crack kills, Steven. Crack kills.
Hopefully, I don't see the text messages that you send me.
Yikes. 888-957-9570. If you got thoughts on tonight's draft, which direction you'd like to see the Warriors go. They're sitting on 3 picks. Thought process is you need bodies. Now, on to the other story of the day. Brian Windhorst, ESPN insider, appearing on Get Up with Mike Greenberg and the other cast of characters from that show. This is a direct quote from Windhorst. One of the things that is being discussed right now is that the Golden State Warriors would offer Kevin Durant a 5-year contract, $57 million extra than he could get signing elsewhere. Let him rehab and then work with him to be traded, potentially to New York, potentially to somewhere else. It would be their way to sort of take care of him monetarily after what he just went through and also protect the franchise and get some assets, end quote. Brian Windhorst, NBA insider on ESPN's Get Up this morning, talking about the idea of giving Kevin Durant that 5-year, $220 million max, which is 57 more than he can make signing with any other team, because roughly any other max deal he takes outside of Golden State's about 4 years, 160. There's some change in there. So give him that deal, give him a year to rehab here with the Warriors, and then, should he want to leave, explore trade opportunities with various teams, work out the compensation so that they could come away with something. This is absolutely genius on 3 different levels. First off, you have to make this offer because it's very ugly optics. If you have him come back, he gets hurt, he wrecks the Achilles, he's out for a year as he heads into free agency. And you, the team that's been saying for more than a year, priority number one is to re-sign Kevin Durant. We love Kevin Durant. We want to keep him here. You get him back out on the court. He wrecks his leg. You end up not offering that deal. That just looks bad. Not saying it's right or wrong. It's not a matter of right or wrong.
Right,
it's just a matter of optics. It looks bad. So, smart move by the Warriors from a PR perspective. Take care of your own. Make the offer. Reason number two, it looks good. You have an entire year to continue recruiting him. An opportunity to get him to stay. Sure, we're going to help you find a trade. But, you know, while you're at it, why don't you come join me in this business venture? Why don't you take a look at this? Or, hey, we got this for you. Hey, found some doctors we're bringing in to work with you on this. A lot of things can be done to make him feel better about his time in the Bay Area. Maybe he thinks after a year, you know what? I don't want to take the risk of going somewhere else and starting all this up again. I just want to come back and play at Chase Center. I'm getting paid real well here. Things are going well. I got great teammates around me. Let's go make some noise. You got an entire extra year, and that's the shrewdness of this. You got the optics in part A. You've got the shrewdness in part B. And then part C, if he chooses to leave, no hard feelings. Everyone did the right thing. You go out there, you find a fit, you bring in some assets in return, unlike what we thought was going to happen. He was just going to leave in free agency and you were going to get nothing, and you come away with something for the future. Win, win, win. Downside, very minimal. Appears that the only downside is if he would stumble through recovery and that the rehab process would be beset by setbacks, and as a result, you wouldn't get the same Kevin Durant, no one would want him, and you'd be stuck with all that money on the books. But hey, it's still Kevin Durant, and that's the worst-case scenario. Modern medicine and doctors nowadays have a way of repairing these things. So yeah. I think that's a very small risk.
That's a small risk. And I think, like you said, he'll come back. But I think there's another downside that we're all of us would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge it. If they do that 5-year deal and, like you said, they woo him and then they do the same thing with Klay Thompson. The downside now, Joe, you got to look at it. And it's a year. And in a year, who's going to be a free agent? Draymond Green. How would this affect? There's a cause and effect for everything. So we got to look at that, too, and say, if this happens, and if they offer Klay the same, what does that do with Draymond Green? Because both of those guys would be up in that year if they woo, and he says, I'm staying. How do you handle a situation like that? So I think that there's a lot of other things that come into effect, Daniel, if this does go down.
We mentioned yesterday, and JD had the note, that if they sign a max to Klay, KD, Draymond, and you keep Steph doing what he's doing financially, it would end up costing you $1.6 billion in salary and tax penalties. So to your point, if you do do this to KD and he decides he wants to stay, that's the price tag you're looking at. As it pertains to Draymond Green, I think ultimately this helps the case to want to have Draymond stay because you're going to get assets back for KD. To me, the big downside for this whole thing is the fact that you're going to have to pay a guy $44 million in salary plus another, what, $15 million in tax penalties. So you're paying $60 million for a guy to not play for you with the very slightest chance that he'll rehab and stay with your organization.
The optics, though, factor that
no,
in.
No, you're right.
That
I'm just saying,
really bad.
All your positives were great. The optics is right. And the shrewdness you mentioned, Joey Lightyear's again trying to be ahead of the trend league-wide. All I'm saying is you're eating a big enchilada, $60 million for a guy to get well soon. That's an expensive Hallmark card.
Did you have a choice, though? We saw Kevin Durant's financial people, his
choices,
agent,
decisions, and consequences.
And when
CDC.
So, of course, they have a choice.
Center for Disease Control, also CDC.
But what would the consequences be? To your point and to Joe's point, let's say you just turned your back on it and said, you know what, KD, tough break. We're not offering you nothing.
No. I think that there's a little deeper, and we got to realize that, too.
Before, and you're going to go deeper for us.
Before KD stepped on that court. You guys don't think before he stepped on that court when he was in Toronto, you don't think the things was in place? You don't think that, come on, all the stuff that was going on surrounding this, you think that they were going to let him turn a blind eye? He's going to be a free agent, and that's what was one of the reasons I said he wasn't going to play. Do you think they would have sat there and say, okay, go jeopardize it for a title. Go do this and all this stuff. You don't think his agents and him looking at it, we saw him look back like he got kicked, and they always say that that happens with Achilles, and all of a sudden they turn into a calf. Come on, man. You got to think. Come on. You know that there was something in place that his agent, his representative would not have allowed this guy to just go out there aimlessly and not be protected. You couldn't do that.
You'd be foolish. For how much thought these guys put into their brands, their futures, their craft, to just assume that none of that was discussed or considered is foolish on our behalf.
Thank you.
So I think you're absolutely right. Going back to something you were saying about the $60 million, the what, $44 million in salary plus the luxury tax it's going to cost him, would you rather, if you're Joe Lacob, Bob Myers, and the rest of the Golden State Brain Trust, would you rather Durant just leaves and you get nothing in return, but you don't have to spend that money, or you spend $60 million, keep him here for a year, and then trade him and get to bring some assets in. Is the $60 million worth the opportunity to get the assets?
It's up to Bob Myers to make it so that it is worth it. So I'm going to put my faith in Bob and say, yes, it's absolutely worth it, because you're going to get a pretty good haul coming back. And let's just play this forward. He gets the max, he stays, and it's pretty much an open secret that he's going to be traded to somewhere, somehow. Kevin Durant's not going to have a no-trade clause, so you can at least pit potential suitors against each other for his services. Maybe it happens before the deadline next year. Maybe it happens next year in the offseason, but you're going to get a pretty good haul coming back.
Also, think about what the next year is going to look like if they plan on signing him to the max and then trading him. It's going to be a year of, oh my God, he is months ahead of schedule. Looks great. He has a baby Achilles heel. I went in to perform surgery on the Achilles, and I'll tell you, it was a baby Achilles heel. It was like a newborn. You're going to hear that. You're going to see some very carefully crafted social media posts of him working out. It may just be one jumper, but oh, did you see that jumper the other day?
It went.
Sure, it was against nobody, and it was only 3 seconds of a one-hour workout, but it looked good. And it's just going to be story after story. He's ahead of schedule. He's looking great. He's feeling great. Really drum up that interest. Really drum up that interest. I am mad at you. That's the move. But that's what we're going to be hearing for a year, is how great everything looks. I, for one, look forward to it.
The only downside, I think, from a KD standpoint, unless he goes completely into hiding, is that it's going to be another year of will he or won't he, the speculation. Because as he looks good.
How bad, though?
Not as bad compared to this past year? Not as bad, because he's not going to be as accessible, but there'll still be questions. When that video comes out of KD hitting 7 corner threes in a row by himself, Warrior fans will be like, man, Laker, you can't trade him. Let's make one more run. Will KD stay? Will he go? So it's not going to be as big a story, but it still goes forward as a story.
From a strategy perspective, how do you get ahead of that? You could do one of two things. You could start the narrative now with the look, he's not coming. We're giving him this deal. The plan is to trade him. And every time you're asked a question, you say the plan is to trade him. We signed him to the max. The plan is to trade him. We thank him for his services. We're going to try to get the best deal out there. Now, the downside to that is that the message is out to the other 29 teams, you have to trade them. So it kind of jeopardizes your leverage a bit. But again, it's also Kevin Durant, who's a huge draw. So how much does it compromise your leverage? On the flip side, the narrative could be, we're going to do everything we can to convince him to stay. Everything we can to convince him to stay. You open up yourself to all those questions. That's the downside. The upside is that now you've got other teams thinking, damn, Joe Lacob and the Warriors have another year to recruit this guy. We're willing to take that risk coming off the Achilles. I don't know. We need to get aggressive. And therefore, you drive the price up. Which would you rather have? Because the key to this is to find the narrative that works best for you now and push that narrative from now until the decision is made in a year or whenever. But don't waver. The problem is when you waver. We saw this with his health during the playoffs. One minute he's coming back, one minute he's not. Steve doesn't want to answer all these questions. He's misspeaking. They want him back. Sources are reporting that players are frustrated he's not coming back. You got to get ahead of it now. You've got to craft the narrative. The plan for the player, the plan for the player's rehab, the plan for the player's future, the plan for the narrative regarding the player all have to be in lockstep. You have to be ahead of the narrative in the PR here.
You really do. And I think that the Warriors understand that because of all
the things. I should be getting paid for this. I should be getting a consulting fee for what I'm laying out, I feel like.
They should
putting this out for free for everybody. You know what? You're welcome, everybody.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's necessary to say. You're welcome.
Without a doubt.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 if you'd like to say thank you.
Yeah, please let Joe.
Lowe's back, by the way.
Please let Joe know. I think that the Warriors will get ahead of this. In a situation that you're going in this thing saying, hey, look, we'd love Kevin Durant, but this is totally left up to him, and he understands that we're signing him, we're doing the right thing, but Kevin Durant has relayed to us, has communicated with us that he is wanting to test the open market, that this is just a contract, by the way, just giving him the options that he would have had if he wouldn't have got injured. And if you do that, I think you come out smelling like a rose if you're the Warriors. And they'll be, if Kevin Durant's healthy, you will get a king's ransom for him, without a doubt. If he comes back come back to being Kevin Durant, there's going to be plenty of suitors out there.
That's the wrinkle, though, is because you probably won't see him in an actual NBA game until you have to acquire him. Because if he's out for 10 to 12 months, he's not playing next year at all. And so if you're a team looking to acquire him, you won't really know definitively whether or not he's all the way back. It'll be a leap of faith for whatever team and whatever their medical staff says, but you won't have the benefit. If it was Klay Thompson, he might have a chance to come back next March, February. He might be able to give you at least a glimpse. You won't have that with KD.
KD, he still hasn't had surgery. You know that?
Right, the swelling, I saw
that. Is that because of the swelling? They wait for the swelling to go down when it's the ACL?
Makes perfect
people
sense.
People seem to make it sound like it was a big deal, and I thought I had heard before a lot of times with the ACL they wait, and then they...
You can't do it if there's that much swelling in there. You need the area to calm down. That way you can accurately assess what the... And if you're going to do the cadaver ACL, or if you're going to take a piece of your... What
patella.
Is it? The patella or the hamstring, I think.
Yeah,
not his hamstring, obviously, but depending on which way you want to go, you got to make sure it fits right, and you have to have the area be back to normal as you can.
What's better, the cadaver or your own hamstring? Or don't they get it from pigs, too?
Yeah, they get it pigs, too. I think the hamstring is better.
Because I'm a cadaver.
Cadaver, sometimes they
you
don't,
would.
They don't.
Sick.
A lot of them don't take. Sometimes they don't get the right circulation, so sometimes the cadaver doesn't work as well. And then when they do the patella, sometimes they do it in your opposite knee.
Right.
And they bring it the opposite. Now you're trying to rehab both knees. So the hamstring, in my opinion, is the best
Lieutenant one. Lieutenant Dan situation.
Yeah. So I think the ham, and it's coming from your body, I'm more of the ham.
Take it from your own hamstring and then use it to repair?
Yeah.
I'm good, coach. Leave my hamstring as is. Give me the cadaver. I'll roll the dice on his or her ACL and... I got a good one. I got to tell you, my ACL has held up very well. It's the rest of the knee that's wrecked.
Okay.
You don't have the baby knee?
No. I have old man river knee.
Oh,
it's the bone on bone from having no meniscus, but the ACL itself, knock on wood, has held now for 20 years. So no complaints about that. I got a good cadaver ligament. Shout out to whoever it was in the
How
life
How much
he
are
lived.
You testing it? Like when you say that, right, it's like you compare it to like an NFL running back. Like, hey, Carson Wentz, his knee's holding up. Well, yeah, Carson Wentz playing NFL football. How much are you testing that knee?
I would say each and every day when I take a step with my left leg, I test it.
Right,
as
right.
a guy who hasn't torn his ACL, you probably don't understand the role it plays. Nobody knows until you actually tear it and you take that step and your knee falls about 7 feet to the right.
Yeah, but isn't it lateral? If you tear the ACL, I can still walk straight line, right? It's the lateral movement
that
you can't
pull
off.
Yes, but it's like... it's
how much lateral movement you do, and I don't see you shuffling around in here.
No, but when you walk to the door and you try to plant your left leg, even the slightest bit to move toward the door, it folds out.
So be cautious.
Okay, well, I'd like to see it. I'll tell you what, Coach. Why don't you go ahead and take your ACL out,
and we'll see how you manage. Form right here. Why would I voluntarily tear my ACL? See, if you take care of yourself, if you grow up, you drink a lot of milk, say your prayers, and you take your vitamins, you turn out like this. Drink it in.
Your body's a temple.
Man
temple
boob.
Of doom. He stepped on my joke. For man boobs.
He's stepping right.
Welcome back, Bonnaroo.
Right.
Go find your phone.
Your phone. Right.
God.
Bro. I think... What are you talking about?
I set him up. I walked him in there. I was ready to drop the hammer, and you had to hit me with man boobs from 5 segments ago.
Man boobs?
Coach, I'm out. That's it.
That's it? That's the worst. Joe, he made an interesting point.
No, he didn't. No, he did not.
I wasn't talking about that. I don't care what you're talking about. He's getting dibs on everyone here.
All right. Calm down. These are the moments we talk about how we react. He shuts down.
I blow off.
We've got to be able to move through these moments. This is where we're going to get better. We're going to plow through the adversity that, let's be honest, isn't actually true adversity. You were out. I didn't tell you. Down at Spark, where we hang out with the kids every day.
Yes.
Damn shed blew up. 10 minutes after Nikki and the kids were there. So I got a whole new outlook on life.
The thing blew up.
20 fire trucks were there. The kid rides the scooter in front of that thing 4 days a week. They were there 10 minutes before, came home, thing blows up. Nobody hurt, thankfully. But
yeah, look at the footage, Coach. I know this is not great radio, but it was a wild, wild scene down there.
So there you go. Living the dream here.
New lease on life.
So that's why I'm willing to say I'll learn how to throw a knuckleball. Give me 1 year and then I'll go out. I'll eat up 5 innings like Samardzija. I'll give up runs. I got no problem with it. And no, I'm not going to blow my knee out like dibs so I can come back 20 years later and say, in the last 20 years, my Fitbit says I've walked 2,000 steps.
Yeah.
And, these hold up.
Get him off your dims.
You know what? Water off a duck's back. The guy has a near death experience. You're supposed to come back humble with perspective.
No.
We get more egotistical, braggadocious Joe than ever.
I'm
so.
Doubling down on the arrogance, it's baby. Joe. This is Final Destination. Come and get me.
There you go.
It was probably a stupid statement. Yeah. If you believe in karma, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Greg Papa is set to join us on the Dial Pad guest line in 30 minutes. Mark Spears will join us on the Dial Pad guest line in 1 hour to talk about tonight's draft. Speaking of karma, I wanted to touch on this because we haven't mentioned it yet. We're going to jump right back into the Durant news as well as tonight's NBA draft. But Giants-Dodgers, game four tonight of the series. Dodgers hammer the Giants yesterday 9-2, bet 162 cashes again. No surprises there. We're at an all-time high for profitability. Your next winner coming today at about 9:50. But today it's Bumgarner on the mound with two big storylines. One, he's going to face Max Muncy for the first time since Muncy planted that one, quote, in the ocean off him. And two, the Giants do not play the Dodgers again after today until early September in Los Angeles, September 6th through 8th, which means today is more than likely the last time Madison Bumgarner will face the Dodgers as a member of the San Francisco Giants. Mm. So where do you want to start? Bumgarner versus Muncy because of the karma from Muncy's comments? How do you think that situation plays out?
That's the big one for me. It's the headline just because of the recency of what happened. Muncy says, go ahead and get that out of the ocean. The T-shirts have been made. I don't know if you've seen those, the Dodger T-shirts, because he hits it deep. Bumgarner's scowling at him, and Muncy screams at him. He's running on the bases. If you want it so bad, go out there in the ocean and get it.
Whoa.
And that's kind of how this whole thing started.
It's a great T-shirt. Really clever. You got to give him
credit. And it's a great line, too. Instead of like, you know, blank you, blank me, and they go back and forth and have a non-fight, yeah, he just dropped the one-liner on him,
go
and it became, yeah, if you want it so bad,
go get it
in the ocean.
Yeah, didn't the game end 1-0?
Right.
Wasn't that the only run in the game? So he pitched a hell of a game, but that was in the top of the first, and that was it.
And by the way, Max Muncy only has one hit against Madison Bumgarner in 8 at-bats. He's 1-for-8 with a home run, so it is a real good rivalry. It's going to be sad not to have Bumgarner against the Dodgers, but because of this and what happened, you had Bumgarner v. Puig. Now you have Bumgarner v. Muncy. I can't wait.
I think it's the latter of the two. Bumgarner the last time possibly against the Dodgers.
As a member of the Giants.
Yeah, you got to look at the history and look at what Madison's been able to do in his illustrious career here. And you got to reflect. This is a game that, of course, Muncy, yeah, you're talking about, that's trivia, that's one-off. But what he's been able to do, the moments that he's given you, the good, the bad, you're going to be thinking about that individual. What he was able to go out and pitch, you know, wasn't pulls a pitch, and guy goes out and said, put me in the game. Guys would cower away and don't want it because of one-night rest. I'm ready to go. I think that Madison Bumgarner, I think that this is those moments that you just reflect and say, wow, I got to see that guy. He happened to wear a Giant uniform.
I think the word's out on the Bet 162 pick for today because the number is coming down. Planning on betting Bumgarner today. Last time out, he's fired up about the Muncy situation. Probably, he's not an idiot. He knows this is the last time he's going against the Dodgers as a member of the Giants. He was plus 180. That's down to about plus 160 and change. So there's some Giant money that's coming in. I like him today. They're going up against Urias, who, what, pitches one or two innings before they shut him down and then they turn around. Which, by the way, Giants and Zaidi, you really need to improve your situation against left-handed pitching. Dead last in average against left-handed pitchers. Dead last in OPS against left-handed pitching. All of Major League Baseball. Not the division, not the league. All of Major League Baseball. That is a huge concern. Huge. I was looking at this morning. What are they hitting? I don't even have the number in front of me. But they're hitting terribly against left-handers. They got lucky Rich Hill left that game with an injury last night, and they still got shellacked 9-2. Pomeranz got lit up like a Christmas tree in that first inning. But do you think Bumgarner throws at Muncy tonight? Does he attack him one-on-one as a sportsman, or is he going at him for the ocean?
He attacks him as a sportsman. I don't think that he goes after him for the ocean call. And if Muncy gets him again and he pimps it again, now we have a different conversation. But you look at Bumgarner's success against him. Muncy only has one hit, the one home run. And above it all and through it all, the one thing we say about Madison Bumgarner is that he's what? He's a competitor. And when you compete to win. And throwing at a guy, especially the first time through the order, does not give your team the best chance to win. And oh, by the way, he's auditioning for his next stop. He knows full well the situation. So I don't think he's going to trifle around with anything. He's going to try to cram it to Muncy by getting him out.
Do you think he tries to brush him back?
I don't think so. Just try to get him out. Whatever you can do to get him out, that's what he's going to do.
Intimidate him. Brush him back a little bit. Let him know. You don't think Muncy's stepping up there going, oh, here we go. This freaking guy.
I just think he's got bigger fish to fry. I think that Madison understood the dude took him yard. And yeah, he wants to sit him down. But man, when you're where he's at, understanding that